This is Richard Greaser coming to you from the Beagle Newsroom in a secret location in New York City. We all know Canada is ran by a bunch of nicotine-deficient losers. The country is on the verge of collapse following Canada's loss to the United States in hockey. The morale is so low that individuals like Sly Gooba are begging for Donald Trump to annex the collapsing country and force them to use Tether. There's a man, though, who couldn't be bothered by all the bearish sentiment. Joining us tonight is a former HR representative for Marlboro, non-compliant English teacher, and touring podcast guest, organizing Bitcoin meetups, unfazed by cold weather, paddleboarding and advising the Canadian government on economics in the city of Ottawa, is the broken ruler. While some may call him delusional, others see him as an optimist who will never let the communist looters get him down. Rocking a beard and a clean haircut, you can see lasers coming out his eyes as he attempts to orange pill government officials. Welcome to the show, Boomer. Would you prefer us to call you by your Bitcoin name or your fiat name?
You can call me anything you want, Richard. Like, it's just an honor to be here. And like that introduction, like that, tears in my eyes. Like I've never felt so honored in my life. And most of that is actually true.
What do you mean, most of it? I'm a journalist.
Clearly. No, man. Like, it feels good. Like, it feels good to be here. But I'm not exactly advising many people in the government over here. Nobody listens to me. I'm a public servant in the same way that, like, the old lady at the DMV is a public servant. I just do my time and I check out.
Your day job is to analyze, but your job is to listen to macro podcasts. Is that how you would categorize it?
I think everybody's job is to listen to macro podcasts. But yes, like I do listen to a lot of macro podcasts while I'm at
you work. Just happen to get you. So let's be that clear. You believe it is everybody's duty or everybody's job to listen to macro podcasts. You just happen to get paid by taxpayer dollars to do it.
I can say that is sometimes the case.
Okay.
You know, if you're not listening to macro podcasts or Bitcoin podcasts at any moment of the day, that any spare 5 minutes, then you're just short your 40 hours, right? You got to get as many macro podcasts out there as possible. You got to get as much Bitcoin podcasts in there as possible, right? If you got a meeting with HR on the fourth floor and you're on the eighth floor, and it takes you 5 minutes to get down there, then you better have those headphones ready and you better plug those bad boys in. Like, that's 5 minutes you can listen to Larry Lepard.
Right. But if you have to shovel your driveway, you know, before you go to your job listening to macro podcasts, that's a great time to listen to macro podcasts.
Absolutely.
And yeah. And so this is, you know, we've had a lot of guests. I think you're our 10th on this podcast, and a lot of them, they come on here and they say, of course, I listen to 40 hours per week of Bitcoin podcasts. I totally do, but they don't. I mean, most of them haven't even listened to the podcasts the week before to prepare. They didn't even take coming on our podcast seriously enough to listen to the episode right before it to see what it was all about. So it's very unlikely to me that they listen to 40 hours per week, like they say. But you are the first guest we've had. That is not the case. The proof of work shows you posted the other day on Twitter looking for like an index of every Bitcoin podcast that exists, because all the ones that you could find on your own, I mean, you're already somebody who knows how to find a good podcast. And all the ones that you could find on your own, you ran out. You needed more. So, you know, you had it was 60 hours per week in your Twitter handle for a while before you changed it. You know what you're talking about. What advice would you give to somebody for how they can think about optimizing their lives to be more efficient with their time so they can listen to more hours of Bitcoin podcasts?
Well, let me first give a shout out to Pies, because like I'm I'm big league Bitcoin podcast listener, but Pies, he might actually be like the Jordan, you know, like if I can be the Pippin to his Jordan of listening to Bitcoin podcasts, then I think that's an honor. Cause you know, Pippin's a Hall of Famer too. Mm-hmm. You gotta get every minute you possibly can to listen to this stuff, right? If you want to do 40 hours, pretty easy, but 60 hours, first of all, you got to be doing 1.75 speed right off the bat. Like if you're any slower,
not everybody is able to listen to Preston Pish or Larry Lepard, like you mentioned, or, you know, Nick Boccia. I mean, that's some high level signal, and not everybody is able to really absorb it at 1.75 speed. Like you, that's something you have to like, it's like you don't go surfing, you know, if you don't know how to swim, it's like, yep, you're going to drown.
Yep.
So you have to train, get your mind and your body. Really, it's a physical, it's not just a mental, it is a connection healthy enough to be able to really take in that much signal in that, you know, at that speed.
It's also a way of life. Mm-hmm. It's also a way of life. Like you got to be a professional, and you got to be ready to make the sacrifices too, right? You know, and the people around you have to realize it. You know, like if your girlfriend doesn't like you listening to Bitcoin podcasts in the car while you're driving to go get the groceries, or she's in the passenger seat, well, you got to leave her home, right? Like that's prime time. You got to be ready to go all the time. You have to have a pair of headphones with you everywhere you go. You got to use the bathroom. If you got to listen, you got to go to the bathroom. You got to in the morning. That's like 7 minutes at 1.75 speed. You got 7 minutes. You can do a Natalie Brunell news block in 10 minutes at 1x speed. So at 1.75 speed, you can get that podcast right off the bat. Just while you're having your dump in the morning, you got to be ready every moment of the day to consume right. more.
And podcasts. And you have to be willing, you know, if you get to Saturday and you've had a really long week at work, you've been hitting the chin, you've been crushing it, but you're a little bit behind on your 40 hours per week. And if you don't wake up at 6 a.m. when you wanted to sleep in and, you know, go get a coffee and start smoking cigarettes at 6 a.m. so you can get that extra, you know, 4 or 5 hours in, so you get your 40 hours. You got to be willing to do that. But like you said, you also have to be like, you have to think of every situation. What if you just think that you're dropping off, you know, something with at your mother-in-law's house for your wife, and she comes out and she asks you to mow her lawn? Do you have your headphones? Are you ready in that moment to put 2 hours in, ready for, you know, any Bitcoin podcast?
You always got
to, you know, because you might, if you get in that situation and you're not ready, then you've just wasted 2 hours.
Wasted. Now you got to be ready all the time. You got to have headphones with you all the time. I keep a set of headphones in the car. And I got Bluetooth in my car. I don't need those headphones in my car. But I keep those headphones in there just in case a situation like that occurs, where I'm somewhere that I'm not home and my favorite headphones are at home. Well, I got a backup set in the car, ready to go.
What if you just have insomnia one night and you're laying there, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and your headphones, you didn't charge the battery, so now
screwed.
You just got to lay there and count sheep.
Battery? What are you like? I go wired. You got to do wired, man. Like this is the moneymaker. This is the moneymaker. The head over here, this is my moneymaker. I got to protect that. So I'm not taking anything the chance with wireless headphones and like radiation and all that shit. No. Wired headphones only.
I think that you know, I just, my personal opinion is what I try to do is, if I'm ever caught lacking, and I'm in a situation where I should have had my headphones, I should have been ready for 15, 20 minutes to listen to a podcast, I pull out time chain calendar and I just force myself to spend that idle time, just watching the blockchain, watching the blocks come in, just, you know, watching the rhythm of the network and just trying to use that as a reminder.
Yeah, that's a pro move.
So on the topics of radiation to your brain, like, I think this is something a lot of people are concerned about. in the Bitcoin ecosystem, people care about their health. They smoke cigarettes. They eat raw beef. They
sun their balls. Know,
they sun their balls.
They don't wear sunscreen.
Yeah.
They do all the proper healthy things to be successful, but that's not always a guarantee that you're going to be okay, right? So, like, one of the biggest concerns myself that I have for my own health is how do you protect yourself against the Jewish space lasers?
Well, you got to, what color is your roof? If your roof is anything other than blue, then you're not, you know, you're not taking it seriously.
So you that's a huge conflict. Families want to, they want to paint their roofs orange. You know, they want people to
bad
know
OPSEC.
They're Bitcoiners, right?
Bad OPSEC.
That's true. That there you go. That's a good point that you bring up. Because how do you maintain OPSEC as a Bitcoiner? If everywhere you go, you have your headphones on or ready to go, it's like a cop somebody's walking around with a, you know, whatever. They give away by their behavior.
Well, there's a few things you can do. There's a few things you can do. You can pretend that you're on the phone, right? You can turn the volume down a little bit and just start having a conversation with yourself. And then everyone around you thinks you're talking on the phone, right? That's one thing you can do. Or you can just start randomly singing. You know, you just start like start singing, "The boy is mine, the boy is mine, the boy is mine." You know, like people think that you're listening to the Brandy and Monica. You know, like that's what you got to do. And then what you always have to do too, like every good 40-hour a week Bitcoin listener knows this. You always have a couple of podcasts loaded up that aren't Bitcoin podcasts, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a Jack Cruz podcast on the go. Just, you know, you can go on there real quick, or Joe Rogan one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think, you know, that is something I've sent them all kinds of recommendations for how they can improve the podcast listening experience, because that's important, right? It's not just about a platform for the podcasters to market their podcast. It's about the listening experience. It is it's very similar to which hardware wallet or which multi-signature wallet. It's a way of expressing your preferences about Bitcoin, and to be able, you know, Bitcoiners care about OPSEC. Yeah. Like, you should be able, like, when I have my custodial Lightning wallet open, I can press a button and change a setting so you can't see my balance. So somebody can't just look over my shoulder and see, wow, this guy's got 20,000 sats just fucking ready for the take here. So like, I don't want them to graze over my shoulder and see that I'm listening to like the Blue Collar Bitcoin podcast, or, you know, Green Light Candle podcast, or, you know, Guy Swan or something. Like, I want to be able to hit a cloak and make it like this guy's listening to Tucker or Carlson, or this guy's listening to the Progressive Bitcoiner podcast, like something like that. Something that's just going to totally throw them off, because, you know, if you sit next to me on the train every day and you see the podcast I'm listening to, you're gonna be able to dissect that this guy's probably got some point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. One that especially that I can, I completely agree with that. Like, I really like the High Hash Rate podcast, and that's one that I don't want anybody knowing I'm listening to that while I'm at work. Right.
Or right. If you're at family and you know, your father-in-law sees your podcast, he's a big old pot leaf on there.
Yeah. A pot leaf and a Bitcoin logo.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're going to think this motherfucker is non-compliant.
Yeah.
One of my favorite wallet features is in Blue Wallet. And I'm sure other wallets have this, but you can have decoy passwords so that you can open up a wallet and show like a either low balance or no balance. So like, say you get wrench attacked.
Yep.
That's the case. And like, I think you need the option to do that with Fountain, like to have better OPSEC, essentially, if that makes sense. You have a decoy password to get into Fountain.
Yeah. Should be able to change the entire branding of your app so it just looks like I'm listening to Joe Rogan on my Apple, you know, podcast app. Like, I don't want them to know I listen to Fountain, that I use Fountain. But I mean, if think about the implications of people knowing that when you're listening to podcasts, you are literally streaming money.
Yeah.
You know, from your phone, over your Wi-Fi, over your data, like that, they're going to want to come and steal that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, there's so many examples. So like, I think it'd be pretty easy to pitch, like, for Oscar Mary, he's probably thinking about this. He's like, okay, wow. Another feature that is expensive to implement that takes a bunch of developer time to do. You know, I think you could easily argue for like an OpenSats grant or an HRF grant to build this, because there's women in Islamic countries where it's illegal to listen to Bitcoin podcasts without your husband's permission, without essentially, you know, approval. And they shouldn't be deprived of Bitcoin podcasts, in my opinion. They need freedom tools to be able to listen adversarially.
Yes, yes. Like, what I wouldn't give to be able to listen to a Bitcoin podcast, but if somebody saw my phone, they think that I'm listening to NPR.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly. You don't want to be listening to Joe Rogan in Washington, D.C. or Ottawa either, right? Listening to NPR.
NPR.
You want to be listening to Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Yeah. So, like, I agree with you, Richard. You know, like, it's good to think about those girls in Afghanistan. But, you know, I'm worried about me, too.
Mm-hmm. I think that this kind of, you know, we could talk about features all day, but I think it comes down to Oscar Mary and his team at Fountain. Like, I get it. They are building a revolutionary product. They are creating one of the most popular, you know, apps in the value, this new value for value Bitcoin based economy. That takes a lot of time. They don't have a lot of employees, so they're doing a lot of work. And I know that they're always fixing bugs, because Fountain, you know, that's, if you work at Fountain, I can't imagine you'd be doing anything else. But I don't think, maybe they don't have enough time, or maybe they've just kind of gotten to it. They don't want to take their work home with them. I just don't know if they're listening to 40 hours. I don't know if Oscar Mary is listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast per week, because I think if he was, the user experience would be much more, it'd be a much bigger project.
I got to push back a little bit on that. Like, I think guys like Oscar Mary, I think they're heroes. Like, he's not listening to 40 hours.
I didn't
hours.
Say that.
He's
I think
not
he's a
listening
hero.
To 40 hours of podcasts. I agree with you. But he's building a platform so that I can, you know? Where's the Human Rights Foundation, you know, helping him out?
I think that
he's sacrificing for me.
Mm-hmm. I think that everybody deserves to be able to listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts per week. And I think that I just would rather live in a society that has the time, low enough time preference to understand that even if somebody who's sacrificing everything to build that product for me, like, they should, you know, we should still create the incentives for them to be able to listen to 40 hours as well and raise their fame.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and listening to 40 hours or even 60 hours, it's low time preference. And it's also a lot like Bitcoin. It's capturing stranded energy. Like, if you want to get up to the upper echelon, like Pies, if you had Pies on here, like I said, Pies is the Michael Jordan of listening to the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know that Pies, he's capturing every last second of his day. Just like the Bitcoin mining network captures every last electron of waste and stranded energy.
You know, one of the themes of this podcast, as you know, as a longtime listener, is we talk a lot about things like regulatory clarity, the right to be compliant, the problems of a non-compliant government. And I think that you probably understand and come from such a compliant country, and Canadians, they really value their right to be compliant, and they don't want that to be taken away from them. And so there's a lot of people up there who are very worried that if they get annexed by the United States and become the 51st state, that their right of compliance would be, you know, potentially threatened. And there's some people who they want the right to be non-compliant, or at least they want, if they're going to be compliant, if the government is compliant as well. Then in the United States, we don't have enough of regulatory clarity to know if that paradigm exists or what paradigm is coming. So is it scary to you that you might be absorbed into a political system that lacks regulatory clarity? And how do you feel about the regulatory clarity in Canada?
You know, when you guys asked me to come on here, obviously I took it as an honor that it is. And I kind of knew that this was going to come up. You know, I'm one of your big Canadian fans, and, you know, I interact with you guys all the time. And I know that's in the news right now. Americans are, you know, they're very eager to know what Canadians think about becoming potentially the 51st state. So I knew this was going to come up. Now, the compliance is always an issue, right? People should be allowed to comply if they choose to comply, right? And I think it's going to be hard for some Canadians, if it so happens that we become the 51st state. I think many of the Canadians will go the way of the California style of compliance or the New York state level of compliance. I don't think everybody in Canada is ready for the Texas level of compliance. You know, there might be some out there, you know, like in Alberta, there might be some people that are ready for that. But not everybody.
Yeah, Steve Barber, he's excited about that.
He's ready. Like he's ready. Like, you know, he's been counting his coal, you know, like he's ready.
Play lick and pleb. He's ready to live the Dallas, Texas life.
Oh, yeah. Plate already has a spare cast iron pan, like an even bigger cast iron pan to cook his egg.
Oh, yeah. Like tariff-free Midwest American steak.
Cheaper steak. Yeah. No tax, like lower taxes. Man, it's going to be great for some people.
No.
Yeah. I'm torn with the whole 51st state thing. You know, I like Dunkin' Donuts and I don't really like Tim Hortons. So on that, that's a major plus for me. Like if I trading out Tim Hortons for Dunkin', that's a win.
Is that going to get you, you know, the Canadian compliant version of death threats for saying that when people in Canada hear that?
It might, you know, but sometimes you just got to put your name on it. You know, you got to own it. You know, I'm bullish Dunkin' Donuts and I'm bearish on Tim Hortons. You know, there's that. And there's also, you know how hard it is to get Marlboro cigarettes in Canada? You have any idea?
No.
It's really hard.
I haven't heard that.
It's really, really hard to get Marlboro cigarettes. Even KYC.
What kind of cigarettes do you get up there?
We have Players. We got something called Players. We got something, you know, we got these Canadian brand cigarettes. And our KYC cigarettes have like a lot of weird messaging on them. You know, on the cigarette themselves. I, with the American cigarettes, you have a little bit of messaging on the package. Up here, we have the messaging on the cigarette itself.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what a...
It'll be a big change. It'll be a big change if we become a part of the states.
What are taxes like on cigarettes? And more broadly, what is the situation with people, your peers right now, trying to afford taxes in Canada? Are you worried about having to afford taxes in the United States? Or would you rather have the tax system of Canada?
We're concerned about that. You know, we already are pretty high up here, and we don't know what's going to happen. You know, our dollar is also weak, right? So like we, you know what? Canada doesn't even have a tether. The Canadian dollar is not worthy of a tether. So we're kind of worried that if we have
they even have some for the European countries, but not the Canadian dollar.
Yeah, are we going to have to pay taxes on top of our taxes now? Like, if we become the 51st state, are we still going to have to pay Canadian taxes and then like an extra U.S. tax? People are concerned.
Do you think that it would make it easier for you to get tether on Tron?
I hope so.
I think you would be paying your U.S. federal government taxes, and then you would be paying your provincial taxes. But I don't think you'd be paying Canadian government taxes.
And you would, and you wouldn't have to pay any more taxes to the Queen of England. So that we would put a stop to that.
Yeah. But then we'd have to relearn about the, you know, kilometers and miles and pounds and kilograms. Like, that's going to take a lot of time. That's a hidden tax.
Actually, that's a great segue, because that would be a really good opportunity for, you know, thermodynamically sound Canadians, if you want to call them that, to maybe they wanted to come to the United States. Maybe they were ready. They want to live in Texas. Now they'll have that opportunity. And with that opportunity, they can come and teach Americans how to use the metric system. We're not going to stop using miles per hour or Fahrenheit, but, weed's becoming legal almost everywhere. Like, people are going to be able to use the metric system for their drugs or for something that, their beef or something for Bitcoin. But you've also done that. You've been an ambassador for the English language, and you had an opportunity to see what the cigarette industry and what the smoking experience was like on the Eastern culture.
Yeah.
Can you talk more about that experience? Because it's very interesting.
It is. Yeah. It's something that I was talking to the guys before we started rolling here about how I might be the only guest that the Bitcoin Bugle has ever had that actually worked in a cigarette factory. So a while ago now, 15 years ago, I worked in South Korea in the HR department of Philip Morris factory. So I saw firsthand, you know, literally how the sausage is made. I was right there. You know, I was working HR. Like, I was a diversity hire because they needed to hire a white guy. So I was a diversity hire at a South Korean cigarette factory. And you know, you realize that everywhere you go, people smoke the same, right? It doesn't matter what color your skin is or what language you speak. You smoke one cigarette, one puff at a time. You know, everybody lights one up at a time.
That's true. Actually, you know what? Then go ahead.
Sorry, there's a handful of people that are super hardcore that smoke multiple cigarettes at a time. And they tend to be Asian, from what I've seen.
Well, they go extra sometimes, right? Yep. You know? So say you watch it's spelling bees or things like that, you know, the parents push them a little bit harder, you know, like
it is no secret that Asia, especially East Asia, is one of the most productive, labor forces, most productive countries, growth, like their ability to build magnificent cities and monuments. And here it takes us like 20 years to build a bridge from, you know, one side of Baltimore to the other. Who smokes more cigarettes? You see a Chinese person or an Asian person, they're smoking a pack a day. And, you know, I just think the correlation is, you know, there between that productivity and that cigarette intake. It's worth noting.
Correlation is not causation, but it's definitely worth noting. And I'd like to see, you know, maybe there could be, you know, an OpenSats grant into looking into this.
Right. Like, yeah, that's actually a good point. There's a lot of really important things that we talk about on Bitcoin podcasts, and a lot of people try to kind of make something sound more scientific or say that correlation, causation, whatever. But it's good to talk about things that are worth noting.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have proof, but it's worth noting.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is the best value you get from Bitcoin podcasts. A lot of things that are worth noting and noticing.
Well, you're right. I noticed the same thing. I lived there. Like, I saw it myself. I saw how much the people smoke there, and I saw how productive they were. And I'm not going to sit here and say that one led to the other, but there definitely is correlation. But I was really taken aback at the humanity of it. We all smoke cigarettes the same way, right?
It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire or a pleb.
It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire or a pleb. It doesn't matter if you're 6 feet tall or you're 4 feet tall. We all smoke cigarettes the same way.
Right. And Not only did you work at a cigarette factory, so the culture in a cigarette factory is inherently going to be different than a normie factory, but you worked in the HR department.
Yeah.
And I think if, you know, I don't know what your experience is like in your day-to-day job now and what the HR department culture is like at your job now, but I have a feeling that we're in a smoking culture, in a smoking factory. HR was actually maybe something that was a great experience.
It was a great experience, but I'm going to be straight up with you, Rod. I'm a man of the people, right? So while I was working in the HR department, I spent most of my time with the plebs, with the cigarette smokers, like on the factory floor. Like my office was not where the regular HR offices were. My office was literally right next to where the Parliament cigarettes were.
Right, you, Deb. It's easy. I think too many HR people, they don't understand that they're basically cops. They are the cops policing behavior at work. And you think about the problems with our inner cities. It's the cops just show up and shoot people, and they don't. The good cops, when the communities were safe, they were in the communities. They were amongst the people that they were policing. They were learning about their lives and talking to families. And so when there was dispute, it could be easily, peacefully, and mutually beneficial for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. But now the HR departments, they just sit up in their high offices and isolated from everybody. And they find out that you shared an offensive meme. And they don't even know that you listen to Bitcoin podcasts. They don't understand that you know, you're on Bitcoin Twitter, and that like these types of things are just not, you know, offensive, because we're so much more intellectual than these normies. And we understand the nuance, but they don't know that about us. So we just get fired from work, and it causes too many conflicts. It says order breaks down at work when the HR ladies... Yeah, they're just too much like cops.
It's frustrating because of all the people who have time to put in the 40 hours of listening to the Bitcoin podcast, you'd have to think that the HR ladies are at the top of the list who actually have the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they are the ones that are doing it the least. I mean, they probably listen to like a Peter McCormick podcast every once in a while, but that's about it.
Because they have fiat authority. So why, you know, they're not incentivized to listen to or follow an ideology that does not respect fiat authority.
Yep.
I think part of the reason why is there's no Bitcoin podcast for HR professionals, right? Like there's a blue collar Bitcoin podcast. There's a blue collar plebcast. There's all these different niche podcast, but there's nothing for meme policers and language policers and people that yell at you for telling your coworkers that they're hot, you know, stupid shit like that.
There's no podcast for nags. There's no podcast for hall monitors. There's no podcast for teachers' pets. You know what I mean?
You know who we need to get on this is fundamentals. He's making podcasts for everything. Right? Yeah. He's how many podcasts does he have going on right now? He can do one more. He can do the Karen Bitcoin podcast, right?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. It's like Bitcoin is not something that attracts the recessed tattletale or the snitch or, you know, like I said, the hall monitor or the person that raises their hand and reminds the teacher that homework was due after the class is about to end. Those people just, they just don't understand Bitcoin, but Bitcoin would, they do need it there because people like that usually are very worried about being able to afford their taxes. So you would think that they're going to come soon. So they're going to need podcasts. So I think that there is a lot of people in Bitcoin who they pretend to listen to 40 hours per week. They pretend to be non-compliant. They pretend to be based, but they're not. And they constantly want to to tattletale or to, you know, do one of those actions, to snitch on somebody, to tag somebody in a limb, all them is hot. I mean, when you're just not, you know, not trying to harass her, you're just trying to express that you think she's hot. Yeah. And, you know, those people need to make the podcasts for the people who are left behind.
This is a real opportunity. Like, I hope somebody's listening to this and is thinking to themselves, like, oh my God, like, this is it. Like, there's mm-hmm. a lot of us that in the Bitcoin community that are wondering how we can contribute to the Bitcoin community a little bit more. You know, like, some of us organize meetups and some of us, you know, we do a podcast or we do TikTok videos. But, you know, a guy like me, I'm not that active. You know, I host my meetup. That's about it. I come on podcasts every once in a while. But I'm listening to this and I'm getting inspired. Like, I want to make the Bitcoin Tattletale podcast.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You are one of the people who I think could best articulate not the why. We articulate the why you should listen to 40 hours. And we give you facts and we just point out to you these examples of how 40 hours can improve your life. But you can demonstrate it. You can be doing your podcast while lifting weights, shoveling snow, crunching numbers, mowing the lawn. You can kind of be like that David Goggins who kind of whips people into shape and says, this is how you do it. This is take action. Wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and start listening to Bitcoin podcasts when you're lifting, you know, doing deadlifts in your basement. You could be do a cold plunge, listen to a Bitcoin podcast. It makes the cold plunge go fast.
Yeah.
Go by faster.
I could me and pies, just like, just pushing each other to listen to one more hour, listen to one more hour. That's good.
Yeah. Like, you know, you broke your leg. Good. Yeah. You have time to sit in the hospital, ER waiting room and listen to Bitcoin podcasts.
Yeah.
So out of curiosity, what years were you over in South Korea?
The early 2000s to 2011, with some time, you know, back and forth. So in those 10, 12 years, like, I spent 7 years there.
Very cool.
So you were in South Korea potentially when North Koreans started to be OG Bitcoiners around 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you ever thought about that? Like, some of the earliest people to go on the Bitcoin standard were, you know, just right up the hill from me.
Yeah, I never thought about it till right now, but that's true. You know, that's completely true.
So I know there's a tenuous relationship between the West and North Korea and South Korea and North Korea. With you must be very familiar with the South Korean culture. You probably listen to a lot of K-pop. Why do you think the Western media ecosystem, specifically PodConf, has failed to recognize Bitcoin or North Korea as being the first nation state to go on a Bitcoin standard?
Well, PodConf don't do a very good job at diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, they see, oh, Koreans, North Koreans. Oh, so they're going to dismiss them right away. PodConf, we know.
Are you suggesting they're white, you know, fascist, white supremacists or male patriarchy, you know, all the stuff that liberals hate?
I'm not saying it, but correlation, causation, there's something there.
Sure. Okay.
So maybe that's why they neglected North Korea, right?
Do you think it's purely because the attractive white American Bitcoin podcasters make the most money, are the most valuable sponsorships?
It's true, right? Maybe. Right? They're going after Robert Breedlove and Preston Pysh, and they're neglecting, like, you know, the North Koreans.
It's interesting. I mean, I know that there's like this anti-Asian bias because of, you know, Marathon, they sponsor a lot of things. So, you know, like Asia, Bitmain, you know, the Chinese miners, like they just seem to not like them very much. They're just kind of discriminatory against Asian podcasters. It's, who's the jewel? Who's the commander of Bitcoin in Asia right now? It's Dylan LeClaire. They put him in a proxy position to kind of be the orange pill governor of Japan. Because they didn't even let a Japanese person do that.
Yeah.
It's like the new form of colonialism. Like,
Joe Nakamoto is like the, you know, the guy who spreads the news in the global south.
Mm-hmm. Like we do have an Asian Bitcoin podcaster, Laura Shin, and she's just been mocked and ridiculed.
Exactly. Everybody kind of uses her as a punchline and doesn't respect her credentials as, you know, a credential journalist.
Yeah, like Michael Saylor's been a big part of that. Like, he was very demeaning to her and mansplaining Bitcoin to her.
Isn't she an Ethereum person too?
Yeah.
So maybe that's why.
You know, like, you have to give minorities a pass, right? If she's like the only Asian Bitcoin podcaster, you have to give her a pass.
Well, I mean, you know, they give like a lot of people passes, like Jack Mallers, right? Like, he works very closely with Tether, which is, you know, what are they use on Tron and Ethereum?
So, yeah, this is just a puzzle I've been trying to put together. And I think we need to challenge the larger ecosystem to recognize North Korea. Many of them don't know the history of North Korea. They don't know that the Kim dynasty, you know, hailing back from, you know, the war hero Kim Il-sung to the birth of Kim Jong-il on Mount Paektu to his son, Kim Jong-il, and then Kim Jong-un. They don't know the history of this dynasty, the low time preference that they have. And they're all hyper-focused on Bukele. It's a shame, because I feel like North Korea, like Kim Jong-un, if he went to the Bitcoin conference, can you imagine how bullish that would be? How much NGU there would be?
We got to get Pete Rizzo into Pyongyang.
Mm-hmm.
That should be like one of the things.
That's a great,
for 2025.
That is a great, great idea, honestly. We need to send an emissary from PodCont. To basically, like Richard Nixon, he met with Mao on the Great Wall. And we need to send Pete to go meet with.
Yeah.
So, you know, Kim Jong-un's like main Bitcoin historian. He's whoever the Pete Rizzo of North Korea is.
Yeah.
We need to have them meet, and there needs to be, you know, at least an initial Bitcoin podcast that they record together.
Yeah.
And I think the relationship would build out from there. I mean, Danny Knowles could have the North Korean Pete Rizzo on after that point. It could be we could probably get a permit to get Fountain up there. I mean, especially if you could, hide the podcast you're listening to. It'd be much safer for North Koreans to listen to Bitcoin podcast that way. But yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. I mean, this is why, you know, we listen to Bitcoin podcast, because we just had an idea pop like that, and you said let's send Pete to North Korea, and boom.
Well, we got Bitcoin 2025 is in Las Vegas, but as far as I'm concerned, 2026 has not been determined yet.
It's going to be Gaza.
Well, 2027. Let's do 2027 in Pyongyang.
Perfect. They're going to need. I mean, they're going to need that time, because they got rid of all their chairs, as you know, in North Korea. But when the Bitcoin PodConf conference hits North Korea, they're going to need chairs.
Yeah. I mean, what I foresee, like, because I believe strongly in the reunification of Korea as one nation. And I think many of the people there locally also believe strongly in that on both sides. And I think the way to really start moving that direction is for them to start a Bitcoin podcast on the 38th parallel.
Yep.
To have a North and South Korean.
Huge. That'd be huge. And then you could be a studio They could do, they could watch something in the Genesis podcast, and they could create that as a studio that North and South Koreans could schedule time to come and use that to talk to each other and have a Bitcoin podcast with each other. And they could do that one by one as the podcast phenomenon grew.
It already exists. There's already a building right there that where the armistice was signed back in 1952, right? 52? Was it 52?
Right.
Where they signed the peace treaty. The building is still there, and there's still guards from both sides protecting the side. So we could put a Bitcoin podcaster in that building and build a studio in that building.
You, one by one, the Korean from each side would podcast together.
Yep.
Until North and South Korea's incentives were realigned.
Yep.
And the, you know, the border would cease to matter. I mean, yep. Once everybody is a libertarian Bitcoin podcaster, they don't believe in borders anymore. So who's going to guard the borders? They're not going to do it. It's not going to make sense. And that's how you reunify that country is one podcast of time. And the, one of the things I think should do at the Bugle, Richard, is one of us should probably create a K-pop song to let the Korean Bitcoiners know that the intellectual Silk Road side of Bitcoin in America and in the West is ready to engage.
Yep. PodConf may have let them down, but the Bugle is still there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, I think it's probably time to get into the boosts. Richard, do you want to let Boomer know the process we're doing here?
Yeah. So before we go into the boost, I ask every guest two questions. And I think they're very, very important questions. So the first one, I think we talked about it. I can't remember if we were recording or not. The first question is, did you listen to the last episode of Behind the Podcast?
I swear to God, I did. I just don't remember. Because the one with Mars was so good that's the one that stuck in my brain. And the one with Sly was so good and fundamentals. So I did listen. I swear to God.
Did you know that Mars is secretly bankrolling the Bugle behind the scenes with his all the money he's making driving a forklift around?
Not surprised.
He's our our shadow financier. He's our version of USAID, Mars Spitzbars.
So Mars Spitzbars is to the Bugle what Tether is to Swan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Except for Mars would not rock us.
Yeah. Yeah, what the CIA is to Bitcoin Magazine now. The second question is, are you Jewish?
No.
Are you okay with not being Jewish? Or do you wish you were Jewish?
I'm perfectly okay with not being Jewish. I swear to God, I'm from a place where there were no Jewish people at all. I don't think I'd ever met a Jewish person until I went to university.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, you know.
Right. You had to get up on Saturday and drive an hour to go to the bank. So you obviously didn't live, you know, in a town with Jews, but you get to college, right? You get to university. Yeah, I had a very similar experience.
Did you feel like growing up without any Jews around you that there was an absence of good accountants and comedians and podcasters and newspaper
writers?
Yeah,
there's no good podcast, no good movies coming from your area either.
No good movies. I noticed that. No good movies.
Very good. Yeah, let's get into the Fountain Boost. So our last episode was with Frank Corva, the legendary journalist, and we were discussing fixing the CIA's incentives. The first boost of our show, on the episode, we talked a lot about USAID, we talked about Bitcoin Magazine, we talked about Lynn Alden's Hot, we talked about the Gaza Conference. It was, we covered a lot of ground in that episode. But the first boost of the show, let me actually do this. This is better. First boost of the show is from Late Stage Hoddle for 10,000 Sats, who says, Thanks to Oscar Mary for supplying the auto rewind function in Fountain. I used to think this was a glitch, but now I know this must be AI implemented under the hood to ensure that it automatically rewinds the most important portions of my favorite Bitcoin podcast. When it knows I was too focused staring at Lynn Alden's ear on what Bitcoin did episode cover page.
We've all been there.
So, oh yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many podcasts I just forgot 15 minutes of because I saw Lynn Alden's picture on, you know, when I was scrolling for the next one.
Mm-hmm. She is very dreamy, I will say.
Yeah, I talked to somebody who told me that they got distracted seeing a video of Lynn Alden on their Twitter timeline, and it caused them to paste the wrong Bitcoin address into a transaction. So they sent some sats to, you know, a phantom address because it's almost like getting distracted by a pretty woman and crashing a car.
Oh, one thing, I think this is pretty standard in being a public servant in Canada, Boomer. I'm pretty sure that you're supposed to do acknowledgments to the tribal lands.
And which, yeah, land acknowledgments. Yeah.
Land acknowledgments.
Did we want to do land acknowledgments before we continue any further?
Well, you're supposed to do land acknowledgments at the beginning. I don't know if you do them at the end. Like, you know, is
that kind if of you start a Bitcoin way? Podcast, would you begin your episodes with the land acknowledgement?
But you have to.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Like, of course.
Well, I think
the Canadian Bitcoin podcasters don't do it.
I think because this was an honest mistake. We forgot to do it at the beginning. So I think we should do it before we continue any further.
Well, I would, on behalf of my good friends here at the Bugle, I just want to acknowledge that we are on the unceded land of the Anunnaki tribe, and that we respect them and their sacrifices.
Yeah, one of the things we did early in this podcast is we did a land acknowledgement at the beginning of an episode, but we did a land acknowledgement to the US dollar because we predicted that Bitcoin had already won back in the summertime. So we did land acknowledgement for the US dollar. And I think maybe that it's time to start doing that more broadly because people are really catching on now that Bitcoin has already won. So it's like colonializing the economic system, and we're taking it from a dying, you know, manifest destiny. So it's time to acknowledge it.
So are you going to keep on rambling, or are you going to do a land acknowledgement, Rod? Or do you want me to do mine?
Oh, I didn't know we were all three doing them.
Oh, yeah. We have to show respect here.
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. I want to do an acknowledgement to Kalpesh, who owns the 7-Eleven, which is downstairs. He hails from Mumbai, India, and he came with his family. And I am currently in the Beagle studio residing on Indian land. And I just want to acknowledge him and his tribe and all of his family members that work with him at the 7-Eleven downstairs.
Well, I'm Rod Palmer, and I would like to acknowledge the Aztec, Mayan, and other Latino BIPOCs who used to live on this land, but is now, you know, in Texas, 20 acres for, you know, 2 Bitcoin. It's cheap. And it's all because we stole it from the Incas, the Mayans, and the Aztecs, and the Hispanics. And acknowledging the we have to stand on bloody soil.
Yeah. I also want to acknowledge the super smoking hot BBL, Veronica, that was in the room next door, and she actually got deported recently.
That's heartbreaking. I was told that the thick Latinas could stay.
Well, unfortunately, some of the ICE guys are really, they don't like the big booty Latinas. They are white in the, you know, in the sneakers, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They don't think Lynn Alden is hot.
They haven't been orange pilled yet. If they were orange pilled, they would leave the BBLs alone.
Do you think more people would be like Lynn Alden pilled if Lynn Alden did a scene like in Basic Instinct? You know that scene in Basic Instinct when Sharon Stone is like being interrogated and she opens her legs? Like, do you think more people would be Lynn Alden pilled if Lynn Alden did a similar thing but with her ear?
Well, I think the thing about Lynn Alden is she's doing something impressive right now. She's really like this type of Atlas figure just shrugging the world above her head, in the sense that she is going around redefining beauty standards. And in a world that's so about, like, you've got the Laren booties, you've got Iggy Azalea pumping meme coins, you've got the Hawk Tua girl talking about blowjobs and rug pulling people. Lynn Alden
is dropping signal.
Yeah, she's dropping signal. And that's part of the reason why, you know, she's so hot, is because she's not trying to leverage, you know, her figure or these different aspects about her in any sort of sexual manner. She's just going out there, just spitting fire, molten hot lava. And I would say that's like, that's incredibly hot. And that's very different than a lot of these other Bitcoin women. Like, she's not like Isabella posting pictures of herself or videos of herself sitting in a hot tub in a bikini. She's not like, what's her name? Laura Halpern. You know who I'm talking about? The boob girl.
Yeah, Laura Halpern, the fake tits. She's a funny talker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's Podkoff sponsored for sure, right?
She's like the Aubrey Strobel of London.
Mm-hmm. But she's worse than Aubrey Strobel. Like, I think Aubrey Strobel, like, she knows she's hot, and she's using her asset to promote the adoption of Bitcoin. But Leia is just like a faux blown.
Well, Aubrey used to be a shitcoiner. Aubrey Strobel is like the prodigal hot babe of Bitcoin. She kind of learned that Bitcoin only is the way to go, and she came back.
Yeah,
I respect
But Lynn Alden is just in a league of her own.
Yeah, she's the Wonder Woman of Bitcoin for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for doing the land acknowledgments. I think that we should probably do that more throughout probably at the beginning of the next show.
The next one is anonymous. They boosted 5,000 sats. Aaron Van Verum has a girlfriend. I can't believe it. Is there any proof of that? I love Michael Saylor in a gay way. I don't remember talking about Aaron, except for that Frank liked working with him or something. But I remember the girlfriend part.
I think, yeah, I mean, Boomer, do you have a girlfriend? Are you married? Do you have a wife?
Yeah, I got a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's good. Like, she understands the Bitcoin stuff pretty good. She thinks like Lightning's mm-hmm. a shitcoin. That's when you know you got to keep
her. There you go.
That's when you know you got to keep her. When she's, if it's not base layer, it's a shitcoin.
That's the definition of a based girlfriend.
Based, yes. Mm-hmm. Very based.
So did you teach her about Bitcoin, or does she know about it before?
She had dipped her toes into Bitcoin before we got together. But I definitely pushed her along. But she had already gotten herself to the door on her own.
So she basically was like, I need to learn about and buy Bitcoin so I can afford my taxes. And then she met you and she's like, all right, this motherfucker is listening to 40 hours per week. I just have to be able to use his node if I need to use a transaction.
Oh, she, yeah, a little bit. Like, it's a way, I think, like, I'm a filter for the podcast. So when I send her a text in the morning, you know, just to tell her ask her how she's doing, and then I send her three or four podcasts that I'm listening to, right, that morning, then she knows throughout the day, like, that I've already pre-filtered the best Bitcoin podcast for her for the day. Like, she has a tough time getting to 40 hours. She probably does 20 hours. But, you know,
it's like doing push-ups from your knees. It's 20 hours is for girls. It's hard, right? And yeah, no, I think a lot of people think that I'm trying to be controlling when I screen my girlfriend's Bitcoin podcast. I'm not trying to be controlling. I'm trying to curate the best signal that I think that she's going to enjoy and learn the most from.
Yeah. And like, I'm not jealous. Like, I'll send her a Robert Breedlove podcast if I think that that's the best podcast for her to listen to. Like, I'm not insecure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's important. That is important. You do not want to be the guy who's like screaming and not letting her see Dennis Porter's announcements, listening to Dennis Porter's interviews. Like, just because he's got an orange pilling aura that just screams sexuality doesn't mean your girlfriend wouldn't benefit from the signal that he, provides.
Totally.
So the next one, well, it's you, Rich.
Well, I just want to say that's cool that your girlfriend said to it that you really were the catalyst to do that. I think that's really the Bushido of Bitcoin that you're living out right there. And it would be interesting to do a podcast on that process, because I think there's a lot of orange shells out there that are really frustrated that want to get a potential girlfriend into Bitcoin, but they're struggling with it. And so understanding the tactics that you used to have a good relationship you have, I think would be helpful for a lot of these guys.
I think that we need to get further along in the bull market for that to make sense. Because we need the bull market to happen to get the girlfriends. And then once they have the girlfriends, then it's getting them orange pilled. You don't want to put the carriage before the horse.
Yeah. I mean, I think that sounds pretty reasonable to me. It's kind of like what you were saying earlier about like you smoke cigarettes one puff at a time. Like, you got to take the relationship one step at a time. The next boost is from Dave 40 HPW, who says, for 2100 sats, who says, V for V, Tether is BTC, LAIH, Macro NGU, Frank knows.
I guess Frank knows.
Frank understood. He understands the assignment. He's working in Washington, D.C. right now. He just knows he's got to be locked in 40 hours per week. It's kind of a checklist. It's not something that he has time to think about. He has to build it into the routine for him to, report the news. He's one of the most important reporters in Bitcoin right now, because he's close to the first Bitcoin president. So there's just a lot of regulatory clarity that we're waiting on. Frank knows.
Definitely. Well, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of interesting buzzwords in that one. I really hope that Donald Trump does an executive order declaring Lynn Alden as hot.
That would be a turning point in our culture, where we're finally getting rid of sexism and all that DEI, and then all the sexism on the other side. We're getting rid of it, and we're just going to kind of commemorate that by making it official.
Boomer, are you on Noster?
Yeah, I'm on Noster. I tagged you guys a couple of days ago, this morning, maybe. Maybe it was just right.
I'm usually the one on Noster, okay. So I saw that. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's hard to use Noster on a typewriter.
Yes.
It's just hard to use Noster.
I understand. Like, my name's Boomer for a reason. It's not because I'm old.
Well, I think something that's really important for people to understand is the revolution will not have good UX, and it's going to be hard.
Yeah, it's going to be you've got to be able to put that effort in to do 40 hours per week. You got to be able to put that effort in to learn how to use a cold guard. You got to learn how to use Electrum server. Like, the UX here is terrible. Lightning, the UX is terrible. But that's why there's BTC sessions tutorials. That is why there is Bitcoin podcast. You just have to be willing to put in the work.
Proof of work.
The last two is Boomer, Pies, we talked about them. 2100 sats, value for value, mushroom flex, let's fucking go. And then another one, 1000 sats, yo, mind blown, value for value, mushroom flex. He was probably jackhammering out on some job site in the negative temperatures. But he was still listening to Bitcoin podcasts. He just had, get the right right earphones, keep your ears warm while you're listening to Signal.
How many hours do you think Pies puts in a week?
I think it might. Physicist might want to study this because I think he's somehow slowing down time for himself and listening to more hours than are in a day. And I'm not even accounting for putting it on 1.5 speed. I'm saying I think Pies has to listen on normal speed. He still gets his time in, but I think this is my guess. But he's doing it. So
a real Chad.
He's doing it. Well, Boomer, thank you for coming on. It was an honor to hear that it was an honor for you to be on our show. What would you like to tell you listeners? And I think you are qualified to, give us some advice. What advice would you give to the Bugle?
Advice to the Bugle? Man,
I wouldn't ask if we didn't want to know.
We're talking to a public servant right now.
Right. We are honored to have feedback from a public servant. Right.
Well, I'm very impressed with the initiatives that you've made in the DEI space. With your new contributions, you've added a little bit more diversity into your crew over there, and it hasn't gone unnoticed.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Boomer. Where can people find you? Or do you which group chats do you like to be contacted in?
Jeez, I'm not much of a group chat person. I'm also not much of a Twitter Spaces person either. Like, I just don't have time for that. If you're putting in 60 hours of listening to the Bitcoin podcast, you have to make sacrifices. Like, you can't do it. And unfortunately, Twitter Spaces and group chats are two of the things that I've kind of had to sacrifice in order to get my 40
sometimes,
hours in.
Every time I even step foot into a Spaces, the first thing I just want to say is, obviously, you got podcast hours to listen to. Stop wasting time in here and go listen to your 40 hours. Yeah. Because right now, it is very obvious that you're not listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was doing the Swan Spaces, last year, 2 years ago, when Greg Foss was still around. But when Greg Foss left, I'm out.
I feel like Twitter Spaces, it's kind of like stumbling across. It's like the mall. It's like a shopping mall. So like the shopping malls where kids like to cut school. They like to be truant. They like to go run around in Hot Topic and get their ears pierced at Claire's.
It's Tim, it's Tim. You try to go to Sbarro to get a slice, and some Tim bully is throwing, a banana peel to try to trick you up.
Yeah.
Like it's like Bitcoin podcasts are like the NFL. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the biggest stage. It's the important stage. It's where the top level talent goes. And Twitter Spaces is like the Canadian Football League.
The best you can do in the CFL and in Twitter Spaces is get your reps in so that you're ready to go to the major leagues when your time comes.
Yeah, and also remember that the tools available at your disposal. If you have a hard time dealing with the fast pace of evolution of Bitcoin memes, because it can be a lot to keep up with, you can use tools like Nostr to stay engaged with a community with a much, much slower evolution of, memes and do memes, good content. You can just kind of go at your own pace.
Facts. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.